Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and thank you so much for tuning in to today's program. Before I get started here, I have to send some wonderful shouts out to my middle sister, Althea, with today being her birthday. Happy birthday, Althea. I dedicate this particular show to you. Now let me go ahead, tune up some music, and get this show going. Welcome to the program. Enough of the drum beats, and I have a lot of ground to cover today. Hello again, everyone. This is author Teresa Banks, and you are listening to LSEC Radio. And I want to ask that you excuse me. I have a lot of various sounds that are going on, anywhere from a heater that's blasting with me waking up today and it being 1 degrees here in the Chicagoland area, to other little sound effects. So I just walked around the room, and hopefully I've turned off enough where the program will come across now loud and clear to you. Again, this is Teresa Banks. LSEC Radio is the program you are listening to, and I am live and on the air talking today about the movie 12 Years a Slave. But before I get started, just as I started the program wishing my sister, Althea, my middle sister, a very happy birthday and dedicating today's program to her, in the same token, I want to mention that, as most of us know, this is the week that Nelson Mandela passed away. And as we know, he was once enslaved in Africa for many, many years, came out, wound up being the president, and has truly, truly left a legacy. And very early this morning, Chicago time, they had a broadcast that was on where we saw all of the various dignitaries in the motherland of Africa, and they were saluting and celebrating his life. And truly, it was a full life worth living. So I truly hope that his family, his friends, and his country will be able to make it on and proceed on with the progress that he made and how he tried to press the country forward. Now, with that said, as I mentioned, I'm talking about 12 Years a Slave, and I think it's an interesting movie that has been brought to light here. And before I share something that I told people on Facebook, I want to just start out with a little background information in regards to this movie. Now, before I really get into it, I want to tell you that I truly did not want to go and see this movie, but it was highly recommended to me by a good friend, Robert, that I've known for a number of years. And he kept saying, oh, you've got to go see this movie. Slavery has never been portrayed in this way. You should check it out, Terry, and see it. He doesn't call me Teresa, he calls me Terry. And he was like, oh, you should go see it. You will truly be changed and impressed by what they've done. And I told him straightforward, I said, I am not going to see yet another slave movie. And then I heard on the radio here in Chicago a couple of radio hosts talking about the movie. And they were saying similar things as Robert had said, that, you know, although we have seen many things before, the selling of the people on the auction block as they were being sold into slavery, and we've certainly seen the beatings that occurred during that day, these hosts were saying, oh, it's never been told in this particular way. And they were highly suggesting, just as Robert did, that people go and see this movie. Now, I have to tell you that my favorite, I mean, all-time favorite type of movies to go see are horror movies. And I guess I owe going to see horror movies to my aunt, who's no longer with us, Ruby, that was the very first movie I'd ever went to see in my life, a horror movie, specifically Carrie, which we know has been remade over twice now. And I did, yes, go and see the one that was out a few weeks ago. So needless to say, this wasn't even my favorite type of movie to go see. I didn't even want to go see it, but I did wind up going to see this movie. Now, this movie, 12 Years a Slave, it was noted as being based on a true story. It was based on a book that was written way back in March of 1968, according to the Internet. And the Internet said that the book is 312 pages long. Honey, I mean, I just hope that is a good read for that many pages. That's pretty long, although for some people they love reading really long novels. And so within the story that's based on this book, that's based on true life, there's this main character, Solomon Northup. And with Solomon, he is actually born a free man, and he's living in New York comfortably, has a wife and has three children, and is doing pretty well for himself. In fact, he's a well-respected man in New York at this particular time. And Solomon is the type of man where he's a talented musician, he can do carpentry type work. He's kind of like a jack of all trades. And so through the start of the movie, we see his interactions with his family, his interactions in the community, and how people look up to him. And people of all shades, white people, black people, and how they really look at him in just awe, and they're impressed by his behaviors, his mannerisms, and all of that. Well, within the story, what we see happens is that in the spring of 1841, Solomon is tricked into becoming a slave. And what happens is one particular time when his family is away and they are out of town, Solomon meets fellow musicians that talk to him and tell him about this band that they pretty much have and how they go from town to town, and they are inviting him to become a part of them. And he's kind of thinking, well, my family's out of town, make a little money here, why not? So he's enticed about the events, he's enticed about the people that are asking him, and certainly about the funds that he could make as well. So needless to say, Solomon takes them up on their offer, but then the next thing he knows, he wakes up literally in chains, and he's in like this basement type setting, very tiny window, dark. The only little light he has is coming from this tiny window that has bars on it. And there's a gentleman that comes in and just tosses food over to him as he tries to eat it. And then he winds up being among other black people. You're not kind of certain if they've been tricked into slavery or if they're just amongst a group of people that are about to be enslaved. But you watch how they are asked to strip down naked and then cleanse themselves. And then they're put into anywhere from houses to on auction blocks and sold into slavery. You see what we all see all of the time, which is the separation of the families, especially the children, from their parents, and how tragic of a situation that was. And then through Solomon's experience, we see the suffering, and it's heavy, heavy suffering. Kind of reminds you of the Passion of the Christ and how bad Jesus was struck in that movie. And Lord knows, excuse me for using the word Lord with this, but, I mean, they really got Jesus to where you felt like you were being beat after a while. I mean, it was just ongoing and relentless and nonstop. Well, this type of suffering was kind of similar, where you just saw that ongoing whipping, and, of course, with the modern technology now with movies, I mean, they can just get it, you know, extremely bloody, right? I mean, they can just really get into peeling the skin off the body, et cetera. So you really see all that this gentleman is going through Solomon and what he's going through. you see how he sold into slavery and then constantly resold into slavery again, how he goes from one plantation to the next. And you also see how he tries to confide in people, specifically white men, while he's at certain locations, because they're seeing, you know, what is it? This guy, this black guy can do all this stuff. I mean, what's up? He can do carpentry. He can, you know, play all these different musical instruments. Surely he was not enslaved his whole life. I mean, that's what Solomon's thinking, and that's what he tells a few of them, that I'm not meant to be here. I should not be enslaved. I'm a free man. But, of course, he could not convince any of the people that he was talking to, with the exception of one gentleman that he met towards the end of the movie. But prior to getting to that point, again, we see all that Solomon endures. We see how he interacts with other women and how they have to be with white men and become pregnant and then have their children. So we see how they're raped. We see in our face how bad the lynching was back then, as Solomon tries to run errands and he sees men that are being lynched in his presence. So you see a lot with this movie. It's extremely dramatic, very in your face, very deliberate, and very direct. And so by the end, by the time Solomon has confided in this one white gentleman played by Brad Pitt's character, and he confides in him, and Brad's character is able to reconnect him back with people he knows in New York, he's free. And then as he leaves that particular plantation, it kind of feels like The Color Purple at the end, like this long little wave and I'm out of here type of deal. And then, of course, he's reunited with his family, being Solomon. He's reunited with his family, and they've aged, of course. You know, his children are now older, and they've had kids, and they have now been married, and his wife is aged. I thought it was kind of interesting that he went up to the children first as opposed to his wife first, but eventually he embraced her as well. And then, you know, the movie came to an end. And the comment that I had made on Facebook really brought up a lot of interesting responses, to say the least. And the comment that I made was that, you know, the movie was okay, but one reason I don't really care for a lot of the movies that are coming out today that are talking about slavery is they don't cover enough material, and they cover too much of the wrong material in my eyes. So in other words, they may start, for example, you know, deep and heavy into slavery and show how black people were living by that time and what they had to deal with. But to me, there should be more stories that start in Africa, more stories that show that we didn't begin here in America and then one day we were free, or, you know, we started with slavery, or we started on a boat. We started in Africa. And we were stolen from our land, and our property was stolen from us, and then that's how we made it over here. And I think that too many stories don't show enough of black history. And so as a result, what happens is as you're trying to educate young people, regardless of if they're white or Chinese or Hispanic or black or Asian, you know, whatever their nationality, ethnicity, background, if they're from India, if they're from wherever, Russia, doesn't matter where they're from. But as you're trying to educate our young people, you don't want to make it seem like black people are not equivalent to being intelligent. You don't want to make it seem like you're degrading us just for degrading us' sake. I mean, sometimes we as black people, I think we look at our president, we're like, oh, my gosh, he is so awesome, Barack Obama. He's highly intelligent, carries himself in a prominent way. Yet there are times when it feels like he's being so disrespected. It just feels like a slap across the face of everyone that is his shade of color. And so although I understand my Facebook friends that responded on the one hand and said, well, regardless of bits and pieces of our black history being shown, it's still important to show those pieces. I say, okay, it's important to show those pieces, but let's not become complacent. Let's not say, well, job well done. This is good enough. Because the truth is, it isn't. And I can remember growing up, and I remember that I didn't hear a whole lot about the kings and the queens of Africa, how the men were over the tribes. I didn't hear about the types of marks that were on people's faces or why they dressed the way they dressed or danced the way they danced. I didn't hear about any of that. What I heard is that we were taken from Africa by boat, put on these ships, brought to America, and because we were strong, we were able to stay enslaved as long as we were. And then until a few powers that be came about and released us, and even then, some of us didn't know we were released then and were still kept against our will, eventually we came to the point that we are. And, oh, by the way, we should now be happy and feel settled in and feel free because we're no longer enslaved from, like, a chains standpoint. But those of us that know various aspects of America especially know that we're still very much not yet free. We still have ways to go. And I'm not even getting into affirmative action and all of that. I'm just trying to say that, you know, when we look at each other, are we looking at each other with the true respect that we deserve, or is it more like tolerance? It should never be the latter. It should always be with patience, with love, with kindness, with all of that. And I think that due to our nasty economy here in America, and I think that due to even some of these insane reality shows that you see a lot, although I have to admit on the side that I love a lot, we've come to see more of each other and how we react to things and the way we truly live. And so maybe eventually we can be closer from that. But I just hope that the next time we see a slave movie, and I understand there's one coming out called Belle, although I don't think it's a deep, dirty South type of slave movie. It's at all a slave movie. I didn't get from the previews that it was, but I'm just saying it's kind of in that era and in that time period. But I just hope outside of Belle that anything else that's presented is a little bit more similar to kind of Roots, if I may use that example. And Lord knows if I may call on the Lord yet again. I kind of love calling on the Lord's name, though. But Lord knows Roots was long, right? I mean, those of us that saw it for the first time were in complete shock, like, oh, my God. Oh, my God, was it that bad? It was that bad, if not worse. But at least with Roots, we saw from the very beginning what it was like. And it took you back to a time where you could see, you know, people are free and about. They're just kicking back. They're just chilling it. They're just at home. And then the next thing they know, somebody is looking at their teeth. Somebody is taking one of their children and saying they would make for a great field hand. Or somebody is riding on a boat and throwing up or jumping off because they'd rather be dead than be enslaved. So we truly have a very long ways to go. I think we're getting better, but I think that we truly have a long way to go. I mean, anytime we can see, as I mentioned, our president earlier in the way that sometimes he's disrespected. Anytime we can see that and the intolerance of our country, we know that we still have a good ways to go. And I know that I'm one who constantly needs to educate myself as well, not only on Africa and what my true roots are, but of other people too. I want to learn about other people too. And I think that I'm fortunate and that my awesome aunt, who's no longer with us, my Aunt Helen, provided us and my family with our history. So we actually know all the way back to the tribe level that we were a part of the Watusi tribe, and she told us they were from West Africa. And we could trace back what some of those people's names were, where they lived, and how we became who we are today. And so my wish then, I suppose, as we wrap up this particular year, is that if we happen to see the next movie called 13 Years a Slave or 20 Years a Slave or whatever that next slave movie will be, that we'll be able to start from the motherland of Africa, and we'll be able to talk about what it was like when we were enslaved, but we'll be able to go from there and show that today we're owning a few things. We have businesses, we have homes, and we've made it a little bit further over. But we've also remained humble. We've also remained helpful of others, mindful of where we've come from, and not just for our own black people, but for others as well. And as I wrap up this conversation, one thing I want to share is that I remember as I was being raised by my grandparents, and I looked at some of the things, some of the prejudices that they experienced as we would go through stores and the way they would be the last ones served, or we would drive in vehicles and we would head down south and we'd always have to eat our food in the car, never be able to get out. I remember that they were always still graceful, grateful, and they were never willing to become the type of people that treated them badly. And so because they did that and they lived their life that way, I believe they were able to raise myself and my middle sister that way as well. So that when we see people, we see the person. We don't see the black skin, the white skin, the Hispanic skin, the Asian skin, Indian skin. We don't see that. We see the person. We talk to you literally at eye level and have a conversation. We want to know about you and your lifestyle and how you're doing, and we mean it. So I hope that more people in our lifetime will take that approach and get to know one another and start questioning, as I did, and through Facebook, why do we have these type of movies that tell such a limited view? Perhaps we need to stop. So with that said, before I close off today's show, I want to just tell you about a few happenings that are going on. I first want to let you know as a reminder that you can still get all four of my books on Amazon.com, and they will be available in ebook form as well. I know, I'm so behind, and people have been calling me and fussing at me and emailing and all of that, but they will be. And those book titles, again, are Woman of Integrity, Becoming a Published Author, Barrenhood, and Surviving a Layoff. And book number 5 is coming out real soon. That work is almost done, and I'm actually thinking of wrapping it up using this Dragon software that you probably, like me, have seen too many commercials about at this point, but I actually have that Dragon software, so I'm going to try it out. But I'm going to go ahead and wrap up book number 5. So look for it to be out real soon. It will have a religious base to it, talking about an interesting subject matter. So I think you'll find it of interest. And then I have an amazing project that I will be giving you some information about real soon that's going to kick off in January of 2014. So be on the listen for that project. With that said, I'm going to ask that you please check my list of upcoming shows. I know I had a nasty little gap in there, I think probably a month or two, where I have been off the air. Perhaps my life can be way too busy sometimes, but I am back on the air, looking to be consistent this time, So I hope that you will reach out to me as you have done in the past by dropping me an email at mailtobanks@AOL.com just to say hello or to give me your input or to tell me what you think. What do you think about the movie 12 Years a Slave? Now, just a quick highlight for my next show, and I know a lot of you know about this program. I will be talking about the show, the TV program with Miss Kerry Washington, Scandal. Honey, woo! Scandal. As I told some friends at a party this past Friday night, and we actually watched Scandal while we were at the party. Scandal is scandalous, is it not? So definitely tune into the next show to hear what I have to say about the scandalous Scandal TV program. And in regards to that show, people told me since I missed the first number of episodes, I need to check it out on Netflix because it was that good. And I need to know the history of some of these different characters. Well, perhaps I will just do that. We'll see. Stay tuned. With that said, I am going to check on out of here. If you are in the Chicagoland area or the Midwest and you are as cold as I am in dealing with this weather, I hope you will stay warm. And I hope all of you that are not in this weather and probably in the South somewhere just laughing your head off and saying, I don't know why in the world these folks, especially if you're like California or Florida, I don't know why they keep dealing with this cold weather year after year and then fussing and complaining about it. I want you to know, I'm one who is not fussing and complaining about it. I love the cold. I can throw on my little coat, go where I have to go, and my snow and shoveling become my winter exercise. But I hope all of you will take good care of yourselves. Enjoy this holiday season. I know some of you are out and shopping, but keep in mind, it's not about the shopping. It is about touching base with people, 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 saying hello, seeing how they're doing, and wishing them well. Take care, everybody. Until my next show, my program, be safe, and may God bless you all. Ta-ta for now.